Cody Franson playing the point. Got some room now. And the score! Cody Franson! A blue darter down the middle! And the Predators at 11-15 take a 1-0 lead.
Welcome back to Hockey Today. Cody Franson traded a couple of days ago as he goes from Nashville along with Matthew Lombardi and a conditional pick in 2013. Going the other way, Brett Lebda, defenseman. Robert Slaney, a forward and a conditional 2013 pick as well. And joining me to talk a little bit more about that and all things Preds, the play-by-play voice of the Nashville Predators, Pete Weber. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning to you, Mike, and how are you today?
Good, thank you. I hope you had a great 4th of July weekend.
That we did. Like I was just speaking with Aaron, I think my wife and I did a sufficient job of sponging off so many other families for celebrations that we had a great time.
Nice. That is the way to do it. Very little cleanup, and as long as you show up with a six-pack, it's all good.
That's right. Sometimes even 12 if you feel really...
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, tell me a little bit about Cody Franson and just what you've seen from him in his time with the Nashville Predators.
Well, we've seen a guy who probably is the best, and was the best anyway on this team, in terms of getting his shot through to the goaltender from the blue line. He had a little fade move that would allow him to guide one in that would oftentimes result in some rebound opportunities, if not just the blue darters you just heard about. But he is rather large, but he's not an overly physical player. And I got to tell you, it was always interesting watching the chemistry between Cody and Shea Weber. They grew up together in BC. As a matter of fact, it was Cody's dad who had the key to the rink in Sicamous. So if those guys wanted some extra ice time, they knew where their bread was buttered right there.
So what makes him then expendable in this situation? Because I got to tell you, when I see Franson, not so much Lombardi because of the concussion issues,
yeah,
but when I see Franson and going back the other way are Lebda and Slaney, question marks.
Well, not being privy to what the conversations were like between David Poile and whether or not it was Brian Burke and or David Nonis, we don't know that either to be certain. But I think it basically boiled down to the idea that if you're going to take Matthew Lombardi, who is a large risk really for both sides at that point, or a great unknown, I think that was the, if you will, the candy in the deal to make it happen.
So, you know, once this is all said and done, you look at the fact that this could be viewed as a bit of a money move. And
there's any question on that.
It frees up some dollars for the Nashville Predators. But the fact is, they right now, as you and I are speaking, according to capgeek.com.
Yeah, I'm looking at the same screen.
Dead last right now in payroll and have about roughly, let's say, $12 million and a bit of change here to spend in order to meet that salary floor. So there's a lot to be done here.
Right.
What are some of the moves you're anticipating in order to make this happen? Who are some of the guys, you know, aside from Shea Weber, obviously,
right,
who they put that arbitration claim into so that nobody could get an offer sheet to him, but certainly with Spaulding and Halaschuk and O'Reilly, Kostitz and O'Brien, there are guys that they've got to target here. But beyond those guys, is there anybody that they may try and lock up longer term here that are facing free agency down the road?
I'm thinking this might provide just exactly the cushion they need to do that, because at this time in 12 months, we're probably going to be talking otherwise about Pekka and Ryan Suter. So there you'd have a pretty important core of three, including Shea Weber, to try to get under contract long term. The thing with Shea Weber is that he had changed agents late in the game as this RFA period was about to open up for him. And top of all of that, of course, Shea Weber gets to sit back and see some of the money that went flying around the league last Friday, Saturday in particular, to see, to play that old real estate game of comparables and see where he stands financially within the context of the whole league.
give me your impressions of this free agent period so far, because you're right. I mean, for guys like Andrew Ladd, for example, he's one of the guys sitting out there, and he's watching all this money being spent. These teams trying to get to the salary floor in many cases, and you know, he's just one of the names of guys that are out there, restricted free agents, and sitting there waiting to make a deal. Clark MacArthur, Teddy Purcell, Ryan Callahan, Brandon Dubinsky. There are big names here that are restricted free agents. And, boy, you got to be itching right now. The wallet's got to be itching a little bit watching these dollars being spent.
I would think so. And then let's think about the UFAs. I think maybe the best signing made over the course of when the season was opened up last Friday might be what Washington did with Thomas Fokoun, a one-year deal there.
Mm-hmm.
He gets a chance. I mean, he could have cashed in greater, but he's done pretty well ever since being traded to Florida in 2007. He gets a chance to play for a championship, and if so, you got to talk about bang for the buck, and I think George McPhee got a pretty good deal there. But I think when we saw the Wisniewski deal on Friday, we got an idea about what the market is for defensemen right now.
Yeah, no kidding. And let me get your impression of the courting of Brad Richards. This was an interesting sort of display in watching people really just, I mean, they were lining up. It
reminded me of years and years ago when all of a sudden Catfish Hunter was declared a free agent because Charlie Finley did not pay an annuity the way
right.
It was prescribed,
mm-hmm.
and everyone was trooping to Ahoskie, North Carolina, to meet with Catfish and his representatives there. That's what this impressed me as with the Brad Richards situation.
And yet, I mean, okay, talented hockey player, there's no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
But the difference maker for the New York Rangers team, I'm not so sure. I'm not sold on that yet.
Yeah, like the Scott Gomez and mm-hmm. et cetera, and the Chris mm-hmm. Drury, whom it was, I think it was E.J. Raddick who tweeted last Thursday, said, I hope all these teams realize before they get into this, this was before the first signing had been announced, what the buyout rules would be.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're looking at what was it, nine a year for or 6.6 a year for 9 years.
Yes.
These long-term deals, they scare me. And I see the same thing with Christian Ehrhoff in Buffalo.
That one really probably raised my eyebrows, Mike, more than any other,
mm-hmm.
simply because I'm thinking, well, they have this deal, and they still want to be involved in the Richards negotiations. And I'm thinking back, remember how things got wrecked with the salary situation in Buffalo just because they lost Drury, they lost Briere,
mm-hmm.
and then they pretty much had to keep Thomas Vanek, and that's $7 million a year times seven.
So when you see the spending happening in your old stomping grounds of Buffalo, obviously Terry Pegula said he was going to open up the coffers, and spending was not going to be an issue
right.
as long as in the mind of Darcy or Garrett made sense. And so when you're sitting in Nashville and watching what's going on there, what's going through your head?
How many different ways can I say this? Are you kidding me? But I think that's the best way that I can possibly put it. But I think that's great for the Sabres and their fans.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to be obviously a vastly changed hockey club this year. I would have loved to have had a point of view webcam pointed at Ryan Miller during all of these proceedings this last week to see how high he was jumping, and if so, I'm Terry Pegula. I'm going to pay for a padded floor for him to land on.
Yeah, no kidding. It was interesting doings there in Buffalo, and the thing, I guess, Pete, that we sort of take away from the whole exercise here, and let's face it, I mean, we're not even a week into free agency. I mean, a lot of the spending did happen over the first couple of days, but depending on who you talk to and who you read, it's a good thing or it's a bad thing. There are really varied opinions on this. Some folks saying that this is sort of the beginning of the next round of labor strife, and other folks are pointing out that, hey, you know what? Everything spending-wise in the National Hockey League is tied to revenues.
Correct.
So if they don't have the revenues, they can't be signing the contracts. I'm not sure. I completely buy into that one, because I think in there's one thing we've known about pro sports for a long time is there's a lot of fake money floating around there, or not fake money, you know what I mean, but just not realistic here.
Yeah.
It's almost imaginary, because let's face it. I mean, there are teams out there who do not and have not seen their revenues grow the way the National Hockey League as a whole has. And I think it was Ken Campbell at the Hockey News who wrote the other day, and I found that pretty interesting, that the next round of labor problems isn't necessarily going to be the players versus the owners. It's going to be the rich owners versus the cash poor owners, and the owners with teams that have difficulty making that money and have markets where they're not generating the same amount of dollars.
I'm seeing the same sort of things here that we have seen, and I think you point this out very well. This compares, I think, in my mind, to that similar situation within the National Football League, which might cause them some problems finally getting to the table and getting their CBA done, this which they hope to do, still this summer. But all of this, number one, it's bought the National Hockey League more off-season ink than I can remember in a long, long time.
Sure.
And the other thing, this all seems like a carryover from longtime Major League Baseball Players Association head Marvin Miller, whose successor is now in charge of the NHLPA, and that was, you don't want everybody to be free agents all the time. You want to have a limited class, because then we're talking about the laws of supply and demand.
Yep.
And when the supply is not that great, the price is going to go up for those who are involved. And I would have to say right now that the players should be very happy with their lot in life.
Oh, there is no doubt. There is no doubt. And certainly looking forward to next year. Some of the names that right now are going to be looking at unrestricted free agency, there are some names there, and you know, depending on whether guys want to stick around or not, there are going to be decisions to be made. I'm thinking of a guy, for example, like Martin Brodeur is going to hit the unrestricted free agent market. A guy like Shane Doan is going to be out there, and depending on what kind of seasons guys put together this year, I'm looking at a guy like Dustin Penner. He had a big payday last time around.
Oh, did he ever?
And it's going to be curious to watch this next year once unrestricted free agency hits.
Let's watch the parallel careers in a way, though the contracts don't come up at the same time. The offer sheets did. Dustin Penner and Thomas Vanek.
And how about Brent Burns? You think he's not watching right now and saying, yeehaw for next year?
Yes.
I mean, he's got to be absolutely ecstatic that he's going to hit unrestricted free agency here at age 26. Making 3.5 right now, he's in for, or that's the cap hit anyway.
Yeah.
He's looking at a big get raise. Pete, thanks for being here.
Glad Absolutely.
You had a great holiday weekend, and enjoy the rest of this summer here as we continue to watch the free agent frenzy, which now becomes a bit of a free agent flicker as it happens a little bit slower now, but certainly, as you point out, giving us lots to talk about.
I just wonder which of these players with their new contracts is going to end up purchasing the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Very good question. Very good question. Just make sure the marriage is solid before.
Oh, absolutely that. Yes.
Thanks a lot, Pete.
Take care, Mike.
There goes Pete Weber, play-by-play voice of the Nashville Predators.